They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, today on the Commons, we have a lovely lady by the name of Shelley Marshall. Shelley is a homeowner. She's a keynote speaker. She's an advocate for homeowner and individual rights, and she is an author. She is a prolific author. She's got a lot of books, and her latest book, HOA Warrior 2, just came out. Shelley, thank you so much for spending the time researching, writing, and providing everybody with all this great information in your book. And thank you for joining us.
Oh, I'm so delighted to join you and have a platform to help get the message out about HOAs, Common Interest Development Communities.
Shelley, this is book number 2. And in this book, you're addressing both the homeowners and the board members.
Yes, I am, because the homeowners become the board members.
And you've got some great advice in here. You've got a whole lot of forms and things that are suggestions that people can use.
Yes, when people contact me about the problems that are happening in their HOAs, they have no concept generally of how to approach a board. They don't know how to write a letter of complaint. They don't know how to ask for a waiver for a rule. And when I also find out when board members are elected, they oftentimes are handed an association from a board who's angry at them and doesn't give them any information and doesn't give them the forms. And so they have to like reinvent the wheel of the forms. And although there are a lot of websites that sell these forms at $2, $3, $4, $5 a form, it gets very expensive. And so I'm giving guidelines. This is basically how you do a form. This is how you write a letter to the board. This is how you write a letter of complaint to the attorney general. It's just a lot of suggestions and guidelines so that people don't feel so lost.
People are charging for forms.
I'm sorry, what?
Shelley, people are charging for forms.
Charging for forms. Yes, they're charging. They're online. They charge quite a bit of money for each form to fill out. You can find them free at different locations, but then it takes hours and hours and hours to find what it is you need. But HOA forms, there's several organizations out there that have a whole list of forms. Very good. But their price individually is so expensive.
Who's putting these out? Do you know?
They're generally the websites that are for they offer web sites for HOAs. They're vendors, and they go online, and they also see the same thing. They understand that people don't know how to write these forms and fill them out and design them, and so they've done the work and they're charging for them. And I'm not against that. I like the free market system. But a homeowner just can't afford all the nickel and diming we get, and then the association fees, and then the taxes, and then the lawyer fees. Every time you turn around, you're getting another fee from somebody. And also, you have to know where to look. And oftentimes, the homeowner doesn't know where to look. So I've got it all conveniently packaged for them.
So why would
I don't know. This is another one of the big problems, is that, oh, mm-hmm. well, you didn't ask this properly, so therefore we cannot comply. Right. I mean, why do you have to have a special form? Here it is. This is what I need.
Yeah, well, there's two reasons for that. One is the skill level of the homeowner. There, many of them just simply don't know how to write a letter of complaint and what needs to go in. They don't know where to start. They look at a blank piece of paper and say, what do I do? And it's not incompetence. It's just inexperience. They're not paid to write formal things. And then the second reason that forms are needed is because the laws are quite explicit. If you don't have the correct date on it, if you don't reference the right law, if you don't do the exact right thing, then the law doesn't apply, and you can't use that as evidence or take it into court that you asked properly for the documents. That's generally corporate law or HOA law.
Have we overcomplicated simple everyday life?
Yeah, we've overcomplicated it for your neighbors. The neighbor's the president of the board. You should be able to go up to them and say, hey, could I see the bids that you got on such and such a work? Or can I see the minutes from the last meeting? I couldn't make it. And the president should say, yes, the secretary has it, and I think it's an electronic form. Let us just email you the information. That would be so simple, neighborly. That's how these were originally designed, and on paper in many of the places, they're still designed that way. But the vendors don't want it that way because then they're cut out of the money-making machine that HOAs have become.
The CAI claims that it's a $70 billion annual industry. $70 billion, that's 70 billion.
Yes.
And how much of that, I wonder, is the petty cash for forms, the fines, or are they just looking at the legitimate dues?
No, see, legitimate dues. There's what's legal, and they try and make the CAI and the vendor industry is trying to make it so that boards have to rely on them. They're passing laws that say if you rely on expert advice, you can't be held accountable. And then the vendors go out, the attorneys and the management companies, and they say, well, we're the expert advice. And so if we tell you what to do, then you can't be held accountable for anything. And so they make themselves indispensable to the boards and to the associations, and then that has to be added into the so-called legitimate dues, because then it becomes legitimate. Oh, we have to hire these people because it's our duty and responsibility, and we have to do it right, and they know how to do it, and we don't because we're just inexperienced volunteers. So they're forcing something that should be neighbor to neighbor into this horrible legal quagmire that costs a lot of money and then becomes a legitimate thing to tack on to the homeowner dues.
Well, I know that. And the other thing they do is they make themselves indispensable. They volunteer to help local, municipal, and state governments.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we understand that this is so complicated and complex, Your Honor, that we will be glad to help state legislators, the district attorney, your local municipal government, anybody. I mean, in Fairfax County citizens pay taxes and they pay the salary of an official liaison between the county and CAI. So this person, yeah. Yeah. And this has been going on for a long time, because when people contact their governments, their local municipal governments, their we call them supervisors. I don't know why, because they don't supervise anything. But the county supervisors, and you say, I'm having a problem with my HOA. Well, you know, you have to go talk to your board. Well, that's the problem. Well, we have a liaison, at the county level contact her, and then she goes to CAI with, well, we have a problem with this, and, oh, well, we'll take care of it for you. Don't worry. We'll help you.
Now, see, I did not know that. I knew you had a liaison, but I didn't know that she was intimately connected with the CAI, and I'm very disappointed in Virginia for allowing that to happen.
That's Fairfax County.
Oh, Fairfax County. Okay.
That's Fairfax County with well over 1 million people and over 90% of all housing in an HOA. So that's a significant number there.
It is.
But the other thing
Go ahead.
The other thing they do is they host a TV show. And they only, this is through the county, they only invite industry members. So, you know, here you have managers and attorneys who sit there and answer questions, and 9 times out of 10, Shelley, I haven't watched it for years, but when I did watch it, 9 times out of 10, the information they gave was false.
Oh, and oftentimes they don't know the information. I know these attorneys, they know only a very narrow scope, and they don't keep up on things, and they give very bad advice oftentimes. I've seen it so often. It just astounds me that they can call themselves an HOA expert and not know corporate law, not know consumer protection laws, not know federal discrimination laws, and advise the boards to do things that are contrary to the law. I've written so many letters to several law firms saying, did you know that this advice you gave them was not legal according to such and such a law? Quote the law to them. And oftentimes, they never answer me, but oftentimes then their advice changes in accordance.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. It's incredible what they do.
It is.
There's
so few protections, but I did find something recently. In the state of Maryland, they have included in the HOA law to fall under the Division of Consumer Protection, and they have allowed counties, local counties, to enforce HOA law if they want to. It's not mandatory. But even making it so that they can enforce it and just not call it a civil matter is just like a huge victory.
That would be a victory. I hadn't heard that, and I should have known about it because I live right next door to Maryland. But
well, I didn't hear about it either until I started looking in their law, and it's Chapter 593, and it's the Maryland Homeowners Association Act Enforcement Authority of the Division of Consumer Protection. I'm so excited about it.
So they had something that a law a long time ago, some kind of alleged oversight that didn't quite work in the homeowner's favor. So a lot of these things are a little bit misleading. One thing they did do in Maryland, which I think is very good, is they capped attorney fees.
That is wonderful. Now, I didn't know that.
So that was a few
Maryland?
Years. Yeah, that's Maryland. They capped attorney fees. So in other words, if you are behind in your assessments, or maybe you're not really behind, maybe there's some fines that have been added and accrued, and you're like 120, 150, or however much behind you are, and we're talking a relatively small amount of money, then, of course, the attorneys get involved, and before you know it, you owe them $15,000, $25,000, because a lot of it is in legal fees. And the state said, no, you can't do that. So they capped it.
I didn't know that, and that's a wonderful way to go on the legislative end of it.
That's a step, in my opinion, a step in the right direction. But
yes, it is.
A lot of people look at Virginia state statutes and they say, oh, you have this panel, the Common Interest Community Board, and you have an ombudsman, and we want that. The ombudsman is being paid by HOA members, because every HOA has to pay a registration fee annually. And the only thing this ombudsman, who's an attorney, by the way, is allowed to do is tell you that she's not allowed to tell you anything.
No.
I mean, that's what she's allowed to do. But the panel, the board, is made up of CAI attorneys, CAI managers, all industry.
Yes, and that's what happens when we start getting into the legislative part of it. I was a member of the CAI when I first got involved because on paper they look like they represent the owners. But in practice, of course, they don't.
No.
And they have a huge legislative committee, and each state has their own branch that lobby the senators and the representatives for legislation, and they donate huge amounts of money to them. They're involved. They write the HOA law. The president of CAI in Utah right now is the author of both the Condominium Act and the HOA Act.
Oh, absolutely.
He's the author of the bill. Yes, it is, and it reflects. There's some parts of the law that would be very helpful to homeowners, except when you go on down and read the complete section, it looks like, oh, this rulemaking thing is very good, or this Open Meetings Act part of it is very good. It sounds wonderful. And then there will be a sentence that says, and if it's not followed, it can't be held against the board members.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just completely nullifies it as if the law doesn't exist.
In 2014, so that was last year, because in Virginia you have the legislature meets every year. In 2014, Delegate Brenda Pogge introduced legislation that should never have been introduced. Okay, it's kind of a dumb idea, but it apparently was necessary. So, you know, follow the logic of this. The the bill said that the declarant, which is the developer, the homeowner association, and the homeowner must abide by state law and the governing documents. Now, I would think that it would be a given that you wouldn't have to have a law that says you have to follow the law. I mean, think about it. We have a law that says you have to follow the law. Well, evidently it was needed because they're not following the law. What happened was when it went to in front of the House, CAI was there, and they actually crossed through the words homeowner association. So the law now reads that the declarant and the homeowners must abide by state statutes and the governing documents. Which means that
the homeowner association.
Which means that the homeowner association has carte blanche to just violate everything. All the laws, all the governing documents, all the rules, they don't have to follow any of it.
Oh, because they put them out. Yeah, the legislative problems, every state has its own unique problem. And some of it's funny, like what you're saying, they need a law to follow the law.
But isn't that ridiculous?
It is. It's hilarious. If it didn't destroy so many lives, and it does destroy lives, and health, like Gary Solomon says, the HOA syndrome, it's something that's very real. People just can't take the pressure of never knowing what your homeowner association is going to do. And once they target you, you're in a lot of pressure, you know, physically, emotionally. You get your neighbors set against you. People tell lies about you. It's just such an unfair system. And in my opinion, it's not the American way. It's like you say on your site, you know, you've left the American zone here.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is that in your book, I want to get back to your book, HOA Warrior 2. I love the graphics, the front page, the cover is just absolutely phenomenal. You go in there and you have a letter from, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name, Daikai?
I don't know how to pronounce it either because we did everything by email, but he was from Vietnam. Mm-hmm.
And I figured here's someone who said, I risked my life in escaping abusive power Vietnamese communist 2 decades ago as a Vietnamese boat people. almost right. got killed by Thai pirate. Now I'm experiencing abusive power by HOA. This guy gets it.
Yes, he does.
This guy absolutely gets it.
It's like that Russian woman that you had on a while back. She got it, too, because she understood what this meant.
Ileana,
yes. I remember it was a great interview.
I will let her know. No, she was Romanian.
Oh, Romanian. Okay.
Yeah, but under communist. Yeah, but under communist rule. Again, it's the whole communist thing, and people get very offended if you say it's just a communist regime. How dare you say that? But you know.
But it is a communist regime. I lived in Russia, in Moscow, for over a year, and I've worked there for 15, 20 years. And I was there when the Communist Party gave everything back to the Russian people. And HOAs are run like communist organizations, and they have the same flaws that the communist societies do, the same abuses of powers. The rules apply to you guys, but not to us, and you have to fund us. And you're like in a servitude all the time to the leaders, which turn out to be the vendors, the board, and the CAI.
Well, in Virginia, we've essentially said you don't have to follow the rules.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, they do that in the corporate law also, in the nonprofit corporate law, which says that, well, if they're well-meaning, they can't be held accountable. You can't prosecute them. You can't go after them. It's only if they do something to you on purpose. Well, how do you prove that they're doing it on purpose? And then there's the part of the law that says if they relied on the advice of experts, they can't be prosecuted or they can't be held accountable. So the experts are these attorneys who are giving all this bad advice, aren't reading the law, aren't representing the homeowner, but are representing the board. We just had an attorney at our HOA in Utah who we got a new board elected in, and the president of the old board didn't want to give up his power. And he loved this particular attorney, and so he paid him all the time, every month, $1,000, $1,600, $400, just $4,000, money going out to this attorney month after month after month. The attorney obviously loved it. And he knew that there was opposition against him from members because so much was being spent on attorney fees. And the new board that came in, he knew them because they had written letters to him and signed letters saying, you don't need to be doing all of these things and taking all of our money. And so the attorney supported the old member and said, no, we're just not counting that election. And it's my legal opinion that the new board that was just elected is not legal and only the old board is legal. And the president from the old board used this letter to keep the new board from getting to the bank account and getting to the mail. It was a horrible fiasco. And so we're dealing with those kinds of situations all the time, and then he's not held accountable. He gets away with it scot-free because the attorney gave him expert, quote-unquote, advice.
It sounds like so many of the stories are the same, Shelley.
Yes.
The stories are the same, whether they come from Utah, whether they come from New York, whether they come from Florida, Michigan, anywhere in the world, Arizona, or anywhere in the country. And it's almost like they're all scripted.
Yes, it is. But it's the loopholes in the law. It's what the laws provide for, and people are going to find those loopholes, and they're all the same loopholes, and that's how come they use them and abuse the power that way. Because this attorney, in his own self-interest, didn't want to let the old board go because he knew the checks would dry up. So it's those kinds of laws. Restraints have to be recognized what the loopholes are, and then somehow they need to be closed.
Well, there's nobody that's actually enforcing the laws.
Yeah, exactly.
So many people skirt the laws, and there are no consequences at all.
Because the legislature writes the law and then tells the American people, but you have to enforce it yourself in civil court.
Yeah.
We're writing the law. You're supposed to abide by it, but you have to enforce it at your own expense in civil court. Forget any law enforcement from enforcing the laws that we wrote for you.
Right. Steal a pack of bubble gum from a 7-Eleven and see how well that theory works, right?
Right.
You know, there are laws and then there are laws. But the book, it's HOA Warrior 2, and it's responding to pets, paint, and parking. Are those...
The three P's, the big issues that start bringing things up. What color can I paint my door? Your dog pooped on the lawn, and we have to replace the lawn, and we're charging you $100. And then the parking issue. You can't park in your own home. You can't park in your driveway. You can only park forward in your driveway. You can't park backwards in your driveway. You can't park a pickup truck here. You can only park regular passenger cars. Oh, it's insane.
Well, and the one I love is from Texas, where the one was, and I don't know my cars and all of that, but it was one car, a regular truck, maybe a Ford and a Lexus or whatever the upscale thing, identical truck, same color,
right,
next to each other. The guy who had the plain old Ford was told he couldn't have it there. He was devaluing property values. You looked at the picture of the two trucks in the driveway. They looked absolutely identical, and they probably were identical.
Right.
Because they were made by the same company. One had leather seats and the other didn't. I mean, you know.
And this is another problem, is the people who are running for the board and getting on the board are people with too much time on their hands. The people that want to do it are the people who should not be doing it. They're in there, they're being told by the vendors, it's your duty to enforce all of these laws. It's your duty. And they're going, oh, yeah, I have to. I'm in a position of authority now, and I have to enforce these. But, of course, they don't enforce them on their good buddies, their good friends who do things the way they want them. They only enforce them on the people that they want to get back at and the ones that disagree with them and the ones that cause them problems. Oh, they're enforced real well there, selective enforcement, but not on – they find reasons not to enforce it on the people they don't want to, including themselves.
You, in the book, you make a point of telling your readers that they have to know and understand who CAI is.
Yes.
Because, yeah, frankly, a lot of people don't know who CAI is or what CAI is.
Well, if you go to their websites, which there are one for every state and then a national one, and you look at their handbook, they have a handbook that's frankly quite a good handbook, and you can download it for free. And on paper, they look like they represent the owners, and they look very reasonable. And this is what the board's responsibilities are, and this is what the members' responsibilities are. And you say, wow, this is great. That's why I joined them originally. But that's not the way it works in practice. In practice, the people who support the CAI are the vendors. And they're the ones that attend the meetings, and they find out how to get the business, and they're pushing for the legislation that requires homeowner associations and condominiums to hire the vendors rather than do it themselves, so that they increase their base for collecting money. Over 70% of the homeowner associations in the United States are self-managed by volunteers. And the CAI would like to see that to be the vendors that are managing it, requiring them to get the vendors because the volunteers, quote unquote, don't know what they're doing. The only reason they don't know what they're doing is because common sense has been thrown out the windows, and the CAI is telling them they don't know what they're doing. And so they, instead of relying on their own resources and common sense and neighborliness and being a good neighbor, they allow themselves to be talked into the I don't know what I'm doing, so I have to hire these people. I have, it's my duty to protect the association. And actually, it has the exact opposite effect.
Well, I think what they do is they tend to scare board members, and they say, if you don't do this, then, you know, you could be sued because you're not doing your job.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly right. But then when they do follow their advice, that's when they really do get sued, because people get so irate, so angry. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you picking on me? And if they get behind, if they start in on the wrong person, then that wrong person eventually does bring it to court. And some boards have lost a tremendous amount of money for their association, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, when it's just been such ridiculous things that they're trying to enforce. I do have to say that the Utah law, the one, it just came into effect in the spring. I think it was May it came into effect. They have, in one of the laws, they say that it's the board's responsibility to use their common sense, and they do not have to enforce everything in their covenants. They have to do what's best for the association. That's actually written into the law now, and that part of it I love.
Well, one thing is that common sense isn't common. There's nothing common about it. I mean, that's a little bit on the vague side, but usually the governing documents say that the board or any homeowner may enforce the provisions of this thing. It doesn't say you have to do it. But if you listen to the attorneys, it's, oh, if you don't do it, this is what's going to happen. When I was on the board, somebody, you know, if anybody came in and you have to do it, and I go, no, I don't. I don't have to do it. But you may do it. Well, I don't want to spend my money. Well, I don't want to spend your money either. You know? So, just go away. in your book, Shelley, going back, HOA Warrior 2, photos, graphics are just absolutely priceless. I love them.
Thank you. I have fun doing them.
Well, in one of them, you talk about the two different types of boards. You've got the CAI type of director or the trustee in service. And then you have this little image with, you have the two, what is, angel and devil sitting on the shoulders.
Right.
A black one on the CAI type of director and the white one on the trustee. I just saw that and I cracked up. And you said, which will you be? Talk a little bit about that.
Well, because this, again, goes back to the common sense. And, you know, being scared into enforcing against your neighbors all of these rules and regulations. I mean, it's just ridiculous. There was one man in California who put gray tape on a hose instead of black tape. And the CCNRs said that they had to have black tape instead of the gray tape. And they sent him a notice of violation. It was so ridiculous. He had gray tape instead of black tape on the side of his house on a hose that nobody could see anyway. And he just thought it was so ridiculous, he threw it in the trash. And then they sent him a second one, and then they fined him. The board was taking this so seriously. Why? It does, nobody on nobody's thinking person is going to think that that is a real issue anywhere, that is going to drop home values. But these board members were convinced that this was absolutely necessary to enforce every tiny little rule to the nth degree. And that's the CAI mentality. That's the mentality that says it's your duty. You have to do it because the documents say and the law says, and if you don't do it, you'll be sued, just like what you said. And the man is thinking, the homeowner is, this is ridiculous. And he threw it in the trash until his fines were quite high and it had been turned over to an attorney. And then he realized he had to get serious. And then he challenged it in court, and he ended up losing. And he lost his home, $700,000 home. And so because he didn't have a homeowner friendly board, one who really protects the homeowner, and which is the little guy on the shoulder, the that's white that says, be reasonable, talk to your neighbors, you know, let them change. Who cares if it's gray or black tape? I mean, that's the guy on the white side saying, this is not an issue. This is not something that's going to harm anybody. Nobody cares. And then you have the CAI vendors saying, oh, this is important. You have to follow these rules. So that's how come that cartoon came up. If people were just reasonable, if they just talked to their neighbors, if they just realized we're a community here, we want to get along, we want things to be nice, but we don't want to be stupid or ridiculous about it. And that's how that cartoon was born.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. But what does that tell you about the mentality of somebody who would sit there and come up with what color tape you can use?
That's right.
You know, the world is falling apart, and some idiot is sitting there making rules about the color of tape you can put on your hose.
Right. Right.
You know, what kind of lunacy is in charge of your home?
And that's what it is, lunacy. And Ward Lucas, when he writes, I love his quote that says, your home is not your home. When you buy into a homeowner association, it belongs to the collective. That's communism. And it does belong to the collective because they can tell you what to do with it at any given time. And whatever rules that you bought your home under can change.
Yeah.
So that you think you bought into one thing, but you bought into another. And then whatever a board chooses to do, they can, your home is collateral for that. If they get sued, it was like the Zimmerman case. The insurance company settled for the $1 million that the homeowners association was insured for that. And the family, Trayvon's family, settled for that. But if they had not and had sued for, say, $10 million instead of just settling for the $1 million that they were insured for, the insurance company didn't have to pay the other $9 million. Guess who's responsible?
The homeowners.
The homeowner.
The homeowners.
Yeah, the homeowners. If they had won $10 million, which in this day and age happens, every single homeowner in that homeowners association would be liable for their portion.
Well, there's so many associations that have gone under. I mean, I talk a lot about one of my favorite cases, and that's right here in Virginia, and that's mm-hmm. Old Bell Haven that went bankrupt mm-hmm. because they kept suing and suing and appealing and suing and losing, because in Virginia, the law says that the prevailing party to a suit is entitled to reasonable fees and costs. So what's interesting is the homeowners won, and the homeowners asked for their legal fees, and the attorney or the judge awarded them every penny they asked for. Now, the CAI attorneys don't like that. They've been trying desperately to get that changed because they say when they ask, when the association wins, and they ask for fees and costs, the judge mm-hmm. looks at it and awards them a small portion of what they ask for. So presumably, they don't think that they're reasonable, because that's the word that's being used. And CAI has
right.
been trying to change that law for a long time.
I hope they do not succeed.
I hope they don't succeed, too. I mean, they've come
One
up
of
with...
One of the things that I think should be written into actually bylaws for all these associations, and we're going to try and get it into our bylaws, is that they should not, a board should not be allowed to sue on their own. They should not be allowed to make the decision to sue a homeowner because it's a business partnership, and we're all partners in the business when we're in an HOA. And that if they want to sue a homeowner, they should make the members vote on it. And if the members vote on it and decide they want to sue their neighbor, then that would be fine. And in order to vote on it, they would have to bring everything out into the public. They sue these homeowners, and they make the decisions behind closed doors, so the other homeowners don't know what's going on. And the other homeowners are suing their neighbor, not even really knowing why. They don't understand the issues. But if you force them to vote on any kind of personal lawsuit against their neighbor, then it has to be out in the open. They want to know what they're voting on. Why is the board suing them? What is the probable cost and outcome? That type of thing.
I totally agree with that. And I think cost, you need to get the attorney to give you an estimate of what he believes it'll cost.
Yes, so put that on the ballot.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because if we lose, this is what you're going to pay. Are you willing to pay an extra X number of dollars to cover our losses?
Yes.
It's not a, if it's not a life or death situation. But here's the other thing that I would recommend, Shelley. If you're working on getting something in the bylaws, one of the other things I would suggest is doing away with confidentiality clauses in settlements. If you go to court and the judge orders you to do something or makes a decision, it's a public record. What happens is that the association, absent this putting it to a vote, will go after a homeowner. Or a homeowner will, the homeowner will file a lawsuit to protect their interests or whatever happens. And so they end up going into mediation, they go into arbitration, they come up with a settlement that they agree to. And the one of the issues is that you have to keep quiet about it. Now, here's the board harassing a homeowner, going after them because they're using gray tape instead of black tape, and costing the association a ton of money because they're paying this homeowner to shut up because they're saying, all right, because they know they're going to lose the case. The attorney says there's no way we're going to win it. So they'll settle. They'll say, all right, Shelley, we'll give you so much money, drop it. But in return, you have to keep quiet. You cannot talk about it. But if you do talk about it, then we come back and we take all that money back and we've got a whole different situation here.
Right.
What happens then is it's not an issue about whether or not you use black tape or gray tape. Now it's a question of whether or not you violated the confidentiality clause. So they'll go after you for that. But they can never prove whether or not you blabbed or whether another board member went out on a drinking binge one night and said, guess what we did to Shelley? We paid her this much money and, we've got a confidentiality clause. Of course, now it's leaking because you've got blabbermouth, Chatty Cathy, who's sitting there in the bar and overhears this and goes to the neighbor. And all of a sudden, this homeowner is being hauled up. How would they know that you agreed to this if you didn't tell them? Well, I didn't tell them.
So now you're back in court. It could be the drunk board member in the bar.
And now you're back in court arguing about who violated the confidentiality clause.
Right.
So that is something that I am passionate about, is doing away with that, because it's your money that's being used.
Yes. And another thing that I would like to see in the legislature, speaking of, using the court systems as the weapon, is the SLAPP laws. I would love to see the anti-SLAPP laws extended to the quasi-governments in HOAs. Because when I originally fought against the board, I knew nothing. I didn't know what the dangers were. I had no idea I could lose my home. I had no idea when I started, and so I was on a crusade to help our association, who was being taken advantage of by a rogue board, and this was in 2007. And what the attorney did was immediately sue me personally for harassing the board.
Yeah.
Because I was talking about things. He sued me for $250,000 along with five other members they named that were working against the injustices. And they added 100 other John Does so that they could add any other member who became involved at any time they wanted. And so what do you do against stuff like that? They use your money to sue you for harassment when they're the ones that are breaking the law.
Yeah. So what happened?
Well, that was, I didn't know, and the attorney I had, he was wonderful. He said, oh, don't worry about it. He said, this is normal. This is what they do to try and shut you up. He says, we'll get past it. And eventually, when we went to the first hearing, it became, all we were suing for was the right to vote. That was it. That was our lawsuit. And they were suing for money against the homeowners. And so you could see that the judge was so on our side. I mean, he tried to be impartial, but it was very obvious at the first hearing that he was going to let the members vote, and why weren't they letting them vote? You know, what was the matter with the board? And so they realized after the first hearing that they weren't going to win, and they just stepped aside and let us vote, and they dropped the lawsuits against us.
It's funny because before we went on the air, I was telling you that about a meeting I had last night, and this guy came in and he said, oh, we're having a lot of problems. And I said, what's going on? And he said, we haven't had an election in over 20 years.
Oh, and that can happen. That's what happened this last spring in our association. The attorney and the past board canceled the election. After the election, after the results were in, after the new board members were seated, they canceled it. They said, no, we're not counting it. It's like, you don't have the, who are you? And then when we complained to various government organizations or asked for help, the reaction was the same. Well, they can't do that, but they did it. Well, they can't do that, yes, but they did it. And I spoke to a representative in consumer protection in Utah from the Department of Commerce, and he just flat out told me, he said, what they did was wrong, and no, they can't do it. He said, but they did do it. And he said, all the HOA laws in Utah are unenforceable. He said, and the lawyers know it. They are unenforceable. He said, they pass these laws. He says, I can't do anything for you. You have to take it to court. That's the only way.
Okay, by unenforceable, you mean the state won't do anything because it's a civil matter.
Yeah.
So, but they are unenforceable.
Yeah.
So you can go to a judge and say, here's the law, and here's the schmuck who's breaking the law.
Yeah, and they have there's different sections of enforcement in every different section of the law. That's another thing I don't understand. You know, if you violate this, you can do this one thing. If you violate this over here, you can do this other thing. And a number of the sections, like I already told you earlier in the interview, they just completely nullify it by saying, well, but if they don't follow it, everything that they decided on still stands. So if they don't follow the open meeting, we now have an open meeting in Utah. They have to invite all the members. They have to let them talk to the board meetings. It didn't used to be that way. That just happened. So now it's the law. But at the end of that section of the law, it says, but if they don't follow this law, everything that they do as a board is still valid.
See, that's the AI. That's the AI.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be able to... You're supposed to have some input in what happens. I mean, they'll say that this is the closest thing to democracy you'll ever have. It's your neighborhood. Gives you more control than if you had to deal with a county or a city or a town. But you know what? You have a lot more respect and a lot more arm's length distance from a municipal government than you have from the people next door who are your board members. They may not like you. They may... you know, you may irritate them. They may not like the car you're driving. They may, you know, they may be jealous. Whatever the thing is.
They're allergic to cats and you have a cat.
Hey, listen, I've heard people get all upset because they didn't like the shampoo you were using and you had the temerity to put it in the windowsill in the bathroom.
I know. Things just that silly go on in HOAs, but if it were just somebody not liking it, that would be fine. But when it's somebody not liking it who has the power to fine you for doing it, that's when you're in trouble.
Well, you know, talk about Tom and Anita Radcliffe. I mean, we've been talking about stupid stuff.
Yes.
Really, really
idiotic stuff like tape and the make of your truck and the shampoo and, you know, all sorts of idiotic stuff. I mean, they've weighed dogs because somebody thinks that it's 2 ounces over the limit, the weight limit. Yeah. I mean, who cares whether it's 2 ounces over? You know, I mean, what? Anyway. You talk about Tom and Anita Radcliffe. I mean, this is very, very serious. And I remember when this happened, they lost a $300,000 home for an unpaid debt of a mere $120.
Yes. And when you try and share these things with homeowners or people that are thinking about buying into an HOA and say, please don't do it because this and this and this happens, they're incredulous. They think it's not possible. They think there must be some government agency that will protect you. They think that they just don't believe it. They don't believe it. It hasn't happened to them. It's that. And there's a lot of apathy about this because it sounds so outrageous when we talk about these silly things of somebody losing their home, $300,000 home over a $120 fine or late payment. It doesn't register. They think, no, that's not possible. And they don't believe you on a gut level. And so they just go ahead and get into the HOA or buy into it thinking that you're overreacting.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It hasn't happened to them.
Right.
I've had people come up to me and say, oh, Sue, surely you don't mean all HOAs are bad or all HOAs, but some. And I go, well, all HOAs are subject to the same laws and they operate the same way. So, yeah, just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Oh, no, but Sue, you don't understand. You see, that would never happen in my HOA. Cool. Where do you live? But I just heard from someone in your HOA. They called me. They're having problems. And it was your HOA was in the news last week, last month, 3 months ago. What do you mean it doesn't happen? Oh, well, Sue, you don't understand. You see, it may have been, I know there's a neighbor that's having a problem, but Sue, you don't understand because, you see, it really doesn't happen in my association.
Right.
You know, so go figure that one out.
Well, just to the one neighbor that they've been led to believe is a troublemaker and costing the association money because they're forcing the board to hire an attorney to keep them in line.
Right.
That's how it's presented. And then the homeowner, the unknowing, unbelieving homeowner that hasn't been targeted yet doesn't believe it. They're just a troublemaker. The board told me so. They wrote it in a newsletter, and so I know that neighbor's a troublemaker.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're the enemy, and that's how they isolate you, and they target you, and people are then just, you know, they just don't believe it, and so it's scripted.
It is in one of the newsletters sent out by the past president during this last fiasco in ours, the one who was trying to retain power and hired the attorney to keep him in office by canceling the election, said that the people who ran were not qualified to run, and actually was telling everyone that this one woman hadn't paid her dues when she in fact had. Not only had she paid her dues, but the attorney, the collection attorney, had signed for him in his office. And he wrote a letter also saying she probably hadn't paid her dues and was not a legal board member. I mean, the audacity, the sheer ignorance of it, and just lying to the members, putting it in a newsletter, and it was absolutely provable that it was not true. But they just did it anyway.
Yeah.
The attorney and the past president. And the newsletter he sent out wasn't even an authorized newsletter. He sent it out like it was.
Shelley.
Using association money.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you. You keep it up too.
Thank you so much for writing the book. The book is called HOA Warrior 2. You have a website.
HOAWarrior.com.
HOAWarrior.com. I love, love, love the graphics. I love the common sense, the common sense way it's written. It's a very folksy, engaging way, so it's a fun read. And, of course, the cartoons are just priceless.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for joining us, Shelley. Good luck.
I appreciate it.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.